So we're gonna have boners. Boner, 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 boing.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Stiffy episode, where we talk about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, The Wolves Among Us, writing, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Home Pass.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tim Wick.
I am still here.
And Molly Glover.
Molly's here. Hello.
And today is another Geeky Boners episode.
Hooray!
We're going to talk about all the nerdy stuff that's got us hard and rigid in the in our nerdicles, genitals.
Nerdsticles?
Nerdsticles? No, that sounds too much... I was trying to go genitals, not testicles.
Tests are pretty geeky. We just go testicles.
Yeah.
I would really love to see a bar graph with this show to see how often we talk about erections versus how often we talk about atheism. And I feel like the two would be pretty close together.
But I'm so hard for atheism. It's not your fault.
Yeah, there's a Venn diagram there, and it's just a circle. But, yeah, we're going to talk about just... some of the geeky stuff that has us excited at the moment, sexually. Tim, what is your geeky boner?
I am super excited about writing because I've been doing a lot of it lately.
Nice.
Like the day before this podcast goes up, I will have had a script that I wrote for 5/5 of the Fringe, which is a big fundraiser the Minnesota Fringe Festival does every year. They have 5 different production companies produce 1/5 of usually a popular movie. They've done like Wizard of Oz. This year they're doing Kubrick's The Shining.
Which production company is doing your fifth?
Well, it's Fearless.
Ah.
It's Fearless. We're calling it Fearless. So they asked me, and then I called it Fearless. I said,
"That works."
Right. Fearless Comedy is doing this, so oh yeah, just bring Fearless right out there. Drop that.
Let it flop out on the table.
Drop that Fearless out on the table. So I got the first fifth, and I'm very excited. It's I got puppets. I did like a Mister Rogers musical. Which is kind of insane. And that was fun to write. I'm also working on a show for The Fringe, Top Gun the Musical. So that's been cool. And I've been doing a shit ton of blogging.
I've seen a lot of it.
If you're gonna write, what they always say is you gotta write every day. So
yes.
I've been trying to come up with excuses to write every day. I stole an idea from Levi Weinhagen.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's called Friend a Day.
Yeah.
And he wrote about friends for 100 days. And so I am doing the same thing. I'm writing about a friend a day for 100 days. Because the thing that's cool about it is you have to be positive. And I'm not always, the most positive guy in the world. I'm kind of cynical and shit, right?
Yeah.
So forcing yourself to write nice things. It's not that I don't think nice things about people. But I always feel like I want to, turn it into sort of an offhanded joke.
We tend to be sardonic and self-deprecating. And because we're self-deprecating, we're... other deprecating as well.
Co-deprecating. Tim, I could think of some people I'd like to recommend to you for your friend today who would be challenges to you that I won't name. They're just individuals that I'd like to... I dare you to say a bunch of nice things about.
I've probably thought of some of them, and they're probably on my list.
Fantastic.
The first few people that are on Tim's list are people he doesn't actually like.
The rules are it has to be somebody I like. So, but,
by definition, friend a day, right?
Yeah, it's about a friend. And so that's, a writing project every day. I've given myself kind of a blogging challenge that I, write a comedy blog every week. And the hardest thing about that is coming up with a topic. It's not that I don't think I can write funny things. I spend the whole week going, shit, what am I going to write something funny about?
Yeah.
When you have the world is an entire blank canvas, it's hard to think of just anything. Some restriction or purpose really helps you get creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bad when I can write about anything I want. It's one, not having ideas is one of the ways. It's why I'm better at punching up scripts. I love punching stuff up or helping flesh out ideas with somebody, but I'm not nearly as good at just coming up with something whole cloth, start to finish.
A lot of the stuff we write or work on together is, I have an idea or a few ideas that I think would be funny, like one or two particular gags that I think I can work into a rough plot, and then Molly is good at, like, actually, like, yeah, writing that into a
story.
Do you
have anybody you bounce stuff off like that? Do you...
Anything I write, I bounce off Pat.
Yeah.
Especially, the comedy stuff. I bring it upstairs, and if I can get her to actually laugh out loud once...
Yeah.
If there's one joke that actually makes her laugh out loud, then I feel like I've got a success.
It's hard.
Because she's not an easy audience.
Sure.
Well, no, and she knows you too well. That's always.
That's familiarity.
So, but when I do longer writing projects, I usually have a group of beta readers. Molly is one of my beta readers.
Yep.
And I'll send it out and I'll say, just, you know, tell me what you think. I think it's a good idea to send that out. I don't do that with my blogs too much, because that's more...
Blog's a blog.
Yeah, blog's a blog. And you don't really need...
Stream of consciousness.
Kinda. Yeah.
This would be, you know what, this would be really good for you too, is to use, since you're doing so much public-facing writing, to practice getting yourself to the point where your first version you publish has zero typos. And like, really, because I know that like, you've talked before about how that's a challenge that you face. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, being funny isn't all that challenging for you. Mm-hmm. And writing every day isn't all that challenging for you. And this could be something that you add to make it have a little more spice in terms of like, making it difficult.
Well, and I work very hard on getting rid of all the typos, but sometimes the really hard thing is when it's your own writing.
Yep.
You read over it and you're like, well, that word's right. And then like the third time you read it after it posted, it's like, how'd that word, wrong word get in there?
That's why it's challenging. It's one of the things that's like, when I am trying to make myself do writing, a lot of times for me, the challenge is coming up with an idea that I don't immediately decide is stupid. So like, if I have an idea, I make myself write it, because that's the challenge I have is, you know, being like self-censoring and being like, no, don't, just delete all that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I just wrote for an hour. Don't delete it. I mean, why would you delete it? But I do it in a fit of anger.
I don't do too much of that. I don't do too much of the, if I write something, I may just leave it and never come back to it.
Yeah.
If I'm just like, oh, wow, that's a fucking disaster. I'm not going to try and do something with that ever again. But, in general, when I write shit, I will save it and I'll keep it and maybe go back to it. And sometimes there's something I write that isn't that great, but I'll be able to pull a chunk out that I'm happy with.
Use the idea and something else or.
So anyway, I've been super rock hard for that, and I've been having a good time with it. And hey, if you're listening to this podcast, go over to PetSnakeReggie.com and check out some of it, because I would love some feedback, honestly.
It's just been you and your laptop in the study alone, just erect.
Yep.
Yeah. With the internet.
He wants you to read the stuff he wrote while he was hard. That's what he wants for you guys.
He wants to share that.
Typhoid boner Mary.
This will make listeners of Geeks Without God way closer to me than they ever wanted to be.
I apologize.
That just reminded me that on Family Feud, because I did the board for Family Feud for Bill 10, that legitimately two people answered the question, name an STD. Legitimately two people answered Salmonella. And I put it up there, and it just, the typhoid boner Mary made me think
of
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Salmonella, what about boner STD? Typhoid? Yeah. Like, oh, I don't want to have boner typhoid.
Sorry, but I was fucking these raw chickens the other day, and I just didn't think I needed to wash off my dick. So
that's gross.
Salmonella dick. Molly, what's your boner?
My salmonella covered boner is it's my chicken juice dripping erection. Is that good?
Chicken dick?
No,
that's
bad. No,
that's
a dick on a
chicken. Listen to this episode more than once.
No, I'm super hard for what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, The Wolf Among Us.
Oh yeah.
Which is a Telltale game on the iPad, and it's very good. It's based in Fables, which is the comic by Bill Willingham, and it takes place before the comics.
I think
before enough, because the events of the comics clearly haven't happened yet.
There's characters, situations that are different.
Yeah, so
change.
And it's a murder mystery, or at least that's how it starts. And there's a serial killer among the Fables, and you play Bigby Wolf, the big bad wolf, who is the sheriff, and it's really great. And Telltale, I talked about this before when I think my boner was The Walking Dead game. The Telltale Games have a strong morality thing where, like, decisions you make matter later in the game, whether good or bad. They never tell you whether they think it's a good or a bad decision. That's the thing. That's up to you to figure out later. So, like, in the Walking Dead game, one of the examples was, like, we find this car with the doors open and all the lights are on. There's nobody around this car and it's full of food. Do you take the food or not? And, like, one of the characters is like, man, we gotta eat. Like, we have to take this food. You have to, like, what are you talking about? And the little girl that you're with is like, don't do it. I just don't think it's right. It's not our stuff. And you can say yes or no. And if you say no, then you go hungry and you're a little weaker, but it can matter down the road. And so that's the same thing.
Like, there's
this.
Another character that's gonna do a favor for you because right. you didn't eat their food.
Maybe, or the fact that you when you did eat the because you did eat the food, you were strong enough to fight off its attack. Otherwise, you die. Like, who can say? It depends on what you choose. Or so
there's interactions with people. Like, it'll say if you're mean to someone, it'll say like, oh, you know, Toad will remember this.
Yeah, like if you say something to Snow, she'll Snow, which is Snow White. I'll say Snow will remember you. Snow will remember you stuck up for her, or Snow will remember you dismissed her. Mm-hmm. And so, like, everything matters. It's really interesting, and it's they Telltale did the mobile interface for iPad really well. The tapping, because it's hard to do combat. On an iPad.
It is, yeah.
And so they did, like, a tapping system and, like, a swooshing. They're swiping, and you have to do it at the right time and stuff. So, and it looks really realistic. I really enjoyed it.
Have you, like, played it all the way through?
Well, there's 5 chapters, and only 3 of them have come out yet. So oh, okay. I've played all the way through everything that's available.
Episodic.
Yeah, it is episodic. And so I really like it. I'm a little sad because chapters 2 and 3 were a lot shorter than chapter 1, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because now I know what I'm doing more and I'm able to go through them faster, but it sure felt like chapter 1 had more.
You should, I should give you my Steam account credentials so you can log in, because all the Sam and Max Telltale games are super fun. Oh, they're not the same storytelling aspect. They're more like the old LucasArts adventure games.
Right, which I did like those, but Monkey Island and such.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, if you get in the mood for adventure games.
I did like playing through. I'm okay. I'm going back to books for a while, like lately. I've been, but one small boner I have is Nick and I cleaned and rearranged our living room.
Itty bitty little boner.
New furniture and rearrangements and new blackout curtains, and it's fucking awesome in there. Yeah. And I'm super sick, but I've been able to be sick in a clean
room. And I will probably be able to see that living room after we go to church.
Yes, yeah. You certainly will.
So
it'll be ready for us to record.
Yes, I'm excited. It will. All right. My boner is wilted. It's gone back to regular old Bruce Banner.
My boner is video game, but also like hackery, I don't know. So, for Nintendo 3DS, the portable, like, Game Boy thing, if you have your game system closed, it runs the Wi-Fi as a little ad hoc network, like, device-to-device network.
Right.
And it just sends out little pings like, hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. And if you walk by someone else that has theirs closed and in that same mode, they do a little handshake and they exchange business cards with each other. And that little business card has a picture of your little Nintendo character that looks like you, or Admiral Akbar, or whoever you made it look like. And then your name and a little catchphrase and some of your likes and dislikes. But then also some of your game information. And in some games, you can exchange, like, special moves, or in Animal Crossing
house.
You can exchange tours of each other's houses and catalogs and stuff like that. But then there are a few games that specifically require Street Pass, and they're in the Mii Plaza, right? The Street Pass Plaza, and there's a couple free games and a couple pay games, and the more people you encounter, and like the color their shirt is or the size of their army in their game, that'll come into your game and you fight and get more resources.
That's cool.
So there's all these games that are hard to play if you live out in Eden Prairie and you don't take...
It was designed for Japan where everything is urban
and
packed.
So dense.
And that you see you pass 10 people every hour.
And so there's the queue is 10 people deep, no deeper. So if you get 10 people and welcome them into your town, you can queue up 10 more. So you can kind of sort of balance 20 but right. but only 10 in your queue. And so at Convergence, when we bring our 3DSs, we're just full. Like
we,
as soon as
we have to stop and clear it every couple hours.
As soon as you clear it out, it'll fill up again, and it's great, but it kind of takes time out of Convergence to play these games. Like, I don't want to feel obligated to play these video games in order to queue more people, but I kind of also want to take advantage of that queue and traffic and the exchange opportunity.
Right.
So, the enter the hackery bit. I bought a Raspberry Pi like a year ago or so. It's a small computer about the size of a deck of cards. It's got HDMI out. You can hook up a few. It's got a few USB ports on it. It runs on USB power. It's dope.
Wow.
Runs a few specific versions and some custom tailored versions of Linux distributions. One of these distributions is made by a guy, and it's called SpillPass, which people are referring to it as setting up a home pass. So your Raspberry Pi sits at home connected to your internet connection with a little Wi-Fi adapter in it and pretends to be a Nintendo DS that someone else in the world has connected to this network with. And then as soon as you do your little handshake business card exchange dance, it changes its MAC address. It's like its unique physical network address. Some devices you can like spoof this on and mimic or masquerade as other people. So it changes its MAC address so that your 3DS thinks, oh, a new person right away. That's so cool. Rather than thinking, oh, I know you. I'm not going to pick up a new person from you. Huh. So it does its little handshake dance again, and boom, you get another person from somewhere in the world that has this same system setup.
Yeah. Huh.
And if you ever go into a game store like a Target and they have that little 3DS on display that you can play with, that is running that... That's connected to that same network. So you can possibly run into people who are shopping at a Target in Utah or have a SpillPass home pass system set up in their house in Italy or Russia. So I've got all... And it has this global map that shows you all the people you've met and, you know, different languages they're talking in when they meet you. And it's not active. You're not chatting with these people. The communication is almost like telegraph. Like, you can send, like, one sentence in one direction and... Two exchanges later, they'll be able to respond to you because you can only exchange information at one time and then at another time. So, so I've been racking up the fucking street passes and playing these games like crazy.
It's true. You can just sit in the living room and have it go and just close it and put it down, and 5 minutes later it's reset.
It's so little, like, mental acuity needed that you can... play while watching TV really easily.
Yeah.
We've been getting caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
of S.H.I.E.L.D. while I've been playing this, and like the second half of my boner is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fucking picks up at about 6 or 7 episodes.
Oh my god, I totally agree. So bad before that.
I totally agree. And yeah, we haven't talked about it on. I remember because
we were 11 episodes back.
I know, and I would like wait a couple.
We're not
episodes.
Caught up. We have two more: the one before Captain America and the one after Captain America.
Oh my god! Okay,
but
yeah, so we'll have to do an episode about it.
But they introduced Lorelei, which is fucking great. Or Lorelei, and Lady Sif makes her appearance, and
That's the one we just saw. Was a Lorelei,
and because we've seen Captain America, and I know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I already have suspicions.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
It's fine. I don't want you to tell
you
anything.
Watch tonight.
But yeah, we're probably going to go home and watch
the next two episodes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the one that follows up last week, so I'll tell you that for sure. It really has picked up. It gives me a lot of hope for season two and beyond.
A friend of ours said when we were talking about, we want to get caught up. I feel like a bad nerd. I love Marvel, but I'm not watching this Marvel show. I'm not supporting it.
Yeah.
And they said... What was their? If you run into an episode, it was Pat said it at trivia competition. She said if you run into an episode that's boring or isn't obviously attached to a long plot in some way, skip it. Watch the post scenes credit, the post credits bit, like the little, because that's where
my friend Rickett works at the same thing.
Any plot advancement that you need to catch up on gets revealed during the credits. And then go to the next episode. And so we ended up kind of like not watching two episodes or like breezing through them.
Yeah.
And that made it way easier to get caught up.
Yeah, and it really is. It's picking up. So we'll see. And, you know, before we go to... We've got a little bit of time before 5 questions. So just can we briefly boner out about Captain America?
Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was fucking awesome.
It was super awesome.
better than the original Cap movie.
Which is pretty fucking amazing.
Which I love.
The original Cap movie is really good.
I had the best
Shield kata I've ever seen. That was amazing fighting.
Oh my god! The opening the 10 minute scene
was
with
insane.
Like the stealth ship take with spoiler alert. We're gonna talk about Captain America, obviously.
Yeah, sorry guys.
This is coming out like a month after the movie, so shut up if you don't.
Batroc the Leaper, played by George St. Pierre, the
French
speaking UFC like ultimate champion for years and years. Wonderful casting.
Yeah.
I loved the Falcon. I loved that they did so much more Black Widow. She was a full flushed out character and shit.
Yeah. So was Fury.
Yes. Right,
Fury gets to be a badass for once, which is kind of awesome.
Well, so much of Marvel continuity, Nick Fury has been either leading S.H.I.E.L.D. from the shadows, outright ousted by S.H.I.E.L.D. and leading through the people that are loyal to him in S.H.I.E.L.D. while not actually being associated with S.H.I.E.L.D. or being on the run from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing this because that's like major themes throughout the character's history.
The thing that I love about what they're doing is they're tying all this shit together. It's like none of this stuff, you know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everything that happened in Avengers happened, and they refer to it.
Yeah,
and
there's continuity. That's what people love about comics, Tim, is their ongoing story, growing universe, continuity. That's why I don't read DC.
When Thor came out, they referenced what happened in Dark World.
Oh, my God, Tim. They named drop Doctor Strange in in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and in Winter Soldier.
Aren't they making a Doctor Strange?
It's like it's wave 4 maybe.
It was one of those things where it was like, we'd like to do one.
We're planning to.
Now it's happening.
If you're DC, aren't you like sitting in your Citadel in New York going, why
they moved
to
California.
Whatever, wherever the fuck they are. Who cares? The point is... I'm just sitting in your Citadel going, how is it that we can't fucking figure this out?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the nature of the Marvel Universe versus the nature of the DC Universe.
I think it is. Well, the Universe is more concrete and black and white.
Marvel's always been heroes and villains that are people, that have motivations, that are happening in real cities like New York City. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But
who learn and change and are affected by things that happen.
These characters are godly icons that are separate from us, that don't have real lives for the most part. Superman is fucking Apollo. He lives on Mount Olympus. Yeah. Like, he's not... Nobody relates to Superman.
Right.
You literally can't.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Superman can't relate to anybody, and nobody can relate to him. And and you say that, I still think you can make good movies about DC characters.
Absolutely.
You absolutely can. And I mean, Batman is a fine example where they've made several good movies about Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have not, and they've made a couple of good movies about Superman. It's just, it's been a really long time since they pulled that off. And they don't seem to know what the fuck to do with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Well, they're making more movies now.
Fingers crossed for,
Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Gal Gadot.
But that Captain America movie really, that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, and it's nice when everybody's like, this movie's fucking awesome. And you go and you watch it and you're like, you are right. This movie was fucking awesome.
The dude who voices Jarvis was on Jimmy Kimmel this last week.
Jude Law?
Jarvis?
Yeah, it's Jude Law.
No, I don't think it is.
Anyway.
I didn't recognize him as such. But he has been cast as the Vision for Avengers 2.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jimmy Kimmel was like, oh, so like, what are the Vision's powers? Like, what does he do? And in the interview, he kind of had to say, I can't go into it. There's someone from the Marvel community in the audience, like, he'll come up here and tackle me and fire me.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a ton of powers in the comics. He has a wide array of stuff he does in the comics.
Yeah.
And so it's not a question of, like, what are we going to do? What are my powers going to be? It's like, how are they going to be different? So I can't really go into it.
That's cool.
But he's just... So, I mean, it's kind of confirming that the cut footage from Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3, where Jarvis is kind of malfunctioning, is leading towards the Iron Man creation story for Ultron, rather than a Hank Pym Ultron creation story.
Oh,
But it also makes sense because Vision is like Hank Pym's grandson, because Ultron makes Vision.
Right.
It's a synthetic life form, you know, pre-playing God itself. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense for the voice of Jarvis to be Vision, because that's like his lineage.
It's his robot voice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That makes me excited.
I'm enjoying the mythology they're building, where they managed to make the movies themselves. They, you know, you could watch Winter Soldier without having watched the other Captain America movie and really enjoy the shit out of it. But the way that everything fits together, it's like these individual Lego pieces, which are fucking awesome by themselves.
Yeah.
But as you put them together, they're just building the most amazing fucking castle you've ever seen in your life.
They snuck Ed Brubaker in as a cameo.
Oh, did they really? Where was he?
He was one of the Hydra scientists when the Winter Soldier gets damaged.
Oh.
And he's come back for repairs or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the, like, button-down, short, white-sleeved, bad tie, glasses scientist.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ed Brubaker. That's the guy who created the Winter Soldier and wrote Captain America for that stretch of time.
That's awesome.
He said that the Winter Soldier was the best Marvel movie he's seen, and like a wonderful adaptation of his work.
A lot of people are saying they think it was better than the Avengers. I'm not willing to quite place it on up there, but boy, it sure is close.
I gotta rewatch them.
I'd have to see the Avengers again. Yeah.
So, five questions. Who are our five questions
from? Our five answers come from Daniel Scarup. I might be saying that wrong. Scarup.
Sorry, Daniel. Scarup. We got the Daniel part right.
I did.
It sounds like you have a speech impediment. There's two A's. Syrup.
And I never know. All right. I just want to briefly summarize. He wrote a whole lot of background, but I will summarize it, which is that his mother is religious. He used to take him and his sister to church when he was little. He kind of realized that God didn't have much impact on his life around 7 or 8, and just sort of the old deterioration from there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really start identifying as an atheist until he met a guy in college who was an outspoken atheist, and now he's very open about his atheism and is not, well, he has respect for people who believe in a higher power, very much against organized religion or anyone who forces their religious beliefs on others.
Awesome.
Sure.
So, question number one, Daniel, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Saving Mr. Banks. As of the time that I'm writing this, I have not actually seen Mary Poppins. So I went into this movie not really knowing what to expect, except that at some point the song Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious would pop up. The acting and cinematography were great, and the music was a perfect auditory complement to the story on the screen. I am very happy that you spelled Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious right. So,
well done, Daniel.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie, and I really want to.
I haven't, and I haven't seen Mary Poppins in a billion years, so...
I love Mary Poppins, and I've wanted to see Saving Mr. Banks.
We'll catch it when it comes around on HBO or something.
Yeah, even though I had a, like, super dumb moment when we were watching a preview for that, and I was like, well, how do you not realize that Mary Poppins is all about the father? Of course it is. And then I'm like, wait, I only realized that because of the movie Mary Poppins, which is what the movie Saving Mr. Banks is about. In the movie, no one... felt real brilliant at that point in time.
Question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
This one is tough, and I can't pick just one. However, Mal Reynolds, Sherlock Holmes, and Tony Stark have all already been mentioned by others.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to go with one that, at least as of episode 40, oh, by the way, Daniel is at episode 40 as of the time of writing this. He expects to be caught up by now.
Yeah.
Nobody has mentioned this one yet. Andy Millman from Extras, since he is essentially Ricky Gervais with another name.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
Fat man.
I love that show. It was really good.
You've reached this episode and it has not been mentioned. It's true. So well done,
Tim. Yep. Have you seen Extras?
No.
You would love Extras.
I probably would.
It's very. There's only 6 episodes or so. Yeah. It's not a lot. It's just the British series.
Those are my favorites.
That's where
you can watch the whole thing
in an afternoon. It's a British series.
I've already seen everything.
Yeah, you've got to watch it.
Patrick Stewart plays this like.
Everyone plays a trumped up version of themselves.
Patrick Stewart plays a fictionalized version of Patrick Stewart, who is hypersexual creepy.
Like aggressively heterosexual.
Wow. Like he's talking about his screenplays that he writes, which are essentially X-Men fan fiction.
It's super funny.
More like slash fiction, really. Yeah, it's very, very funny.
Oh, I'll watch
David
I'll watch
Bowie
it.
Makes an appearance. Like,
well, you know, you guys got me on Community, and it took me like a month and a half to get through all that. So,
this will only take a day.
Yeah.
This,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's great.
By the way, I expect more True Detective, Nick. I'm just saying that.
Oh, it's
question,
coming.
Question number three. I keep mentioning it. Anyway,
question
number three.
Yes.
Is what's your geekiest hobby?
Besides singing out at the Renaissance Festival, I'd have to say taking songs and switching them from a minor key to a major key and vice versa, giving the songs a completely different and sometimes inappropriate or absurd feel. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That pleases me in a way that I can't... I love that shit.
It's really amazing what happens when you change from a major to a minor.
I don't understand keys and music and stuff. I'm very...
You can hear a key change, though.
I know.
You are, some people can't hear that. You can hear a key change.
Molly and I have this running joke where in the car, something will happen in music and I'll guess whether or not that was
a key change. And I'm like, no.
Like, maybe half or two-thirds of the time I'm right.
It's
but,
true.
Like, I'm not right
getting
often
better.
Enough where I can say I confidently understand when I hear a key change.
You're getting better, though.
In general, a minor key is going to make the song sound creepier.
Okay.
Or sadder.
You know, that Family Guy where he's like, and I leave a walk into the house, and then I see my friend, and now we go through the woods, and it's very dark and kind of scary, and then we go back to the house. Like, that goes from major to minor.
Major to minor.
So, and I understand key change for the in-joke that is Eric Knight singing the bump, 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 the waving music.
Yep.
I understand, and I can time and do write the key change for that.
Yeah, you can do
but
that.
But I'm very, very musically illiterate. Like, I don't play any instruments, I don't sing well, I was taught to read music once, and I dabbled
with two
instruments.
You're really good at the nose flute. Kevin Murphy gave him a nose flute,
yes.
He can play it like gangbusters.
Well,
he's been practicing at home, and he's gonna, like, accompany me out at festival,
maybe.
I think.
I want a wooden, here's something surprising, Tim. Etsy had done. No one on Etsy is selling handcrafted wooden nose flutes.
What the fuck?
Right?
I would think
that's the point.
That's like... I don't know, like the hipster store not selling fixed wheel bicycles. Like, what the fuck, man?
Why does this store for ladies not sell something that makes me feel bad about the way I am naturally?
Right, exactly. Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
I don't have a specific favorite, but one that I really like, and I just want to stop right now, but it sounds amazing. I really want this right now.
Okay.
One that I really like is tuna salad made with mayo or Miracle Whip, depending on your tastes. Containing chopped celery and onion and a little bit of oregano on pumpernickel bread topped with alfalfa sprouts, tomato, pickles, romaine, and a slice of provolone or Swiss cheese. And no, Nick, you don't toast it. You monster of food.
Let me just say right now, I know that sounds amazing to Molly. And that sounds like the opposite of everything I like about a tuna salad sandwich.
It doesn't like bits in.
I don't like crunchy bits in.
You don't like the
onions or celery.
He doesn't like bits in his tuna salad or chicken salad.
In tuna salad, chicken salad, like salads shouldn't have crunchy bits. Every once in a while, someone will make like a turkey salad that has grapes or something in it, and they have that crunch, and I'm okay with that a little bit.
I love bits in.
Celery and onion, like raw onions and things is disgusting.
I like to put chopped radishes in my tuna salad and crumbled up potato chips.
Okay, so here's something different. Coleslaw...
On a barbecue sandwich
is good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crunchy.
But you like lettuce on sandwiches. You just don't like bits in your mayonnaise-based salad.
And I don't like raw tomatoes on sandwiches either. Well, so right. I just... This is not the sandwich for me.
Sorry, Daniel. No, doesn't score with Nick.
No,
Molly loves it,
I'm
though.
I'm all about this sandwich. This sandwich has a 9 out of 10 on the Molly scale.
I give it a 0.5.
All right, question number
Nick
five.
Nick a 0.5.
What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
I'm going to cheat a little bit on this one, as it was something said about my atheism to someone else.
Oh.
When my wife and I were still in the planning phase of our wedding, one of the women she was planning on inviting, an important person from her childhood, and... it should be noted, someone I had never met or interacted with in any way, and still have not,
Ah, nice.
Found out somehow that I am not religious, not necessarily atheist, though. She told my now wife that we shouldn't get married because I am not religious and our marriage could not possibly work because of this. In addition to this, she said that I'm lazy because I'm a music major and that I am inhumane because I worked in IT at the time.
Ha!
See, Nick, you are a monster.
Yeah.
When she didn't realize is that my wife, who was raised Catholic, stopped being religious once she hit college. She's a theist of sorts, but does not believe in any organized religion and agrees to some extent that it's harmful. Nor a god is described by any of the more major religions. To make the whole situation even more ironic, this religious woman who tried to give my wife marriage advice and drill into her the sanctity of marriage has been divorced 3 times.
Wow.
Go figure. Love the show. Keep up the awesome work, and if I don't see you before then, I will see you at Fest.
Yeah.
Yay, wow. Dan.
Well, thank you, Daniel. I'm sorry that your wife had such a horrible relative, but...
Yeah, it's funny because the whole, your marriage won't work because you're not religious, I've actually heard that before.
Yeah.
The idea that, I mean, it's just... Otherwise, what are you vowing? Who are you making these promises to?
Each other.
That's what I said. I was like, to each other. I mean, but who's witnessing it? And I was like, our friends and family, the most important people to us. And
also each other.
Like, the promises between us.
The state.
Are you guys just not fucking other people because you think God said you shouldn't? Like, I mean, it's like, are you not lying to your husband because you're afraid of retribution?
It's the exact same argument as what's stopping you from murdering people.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, yeah. it's the same argument about a different thing.
Yep. Yeah.
The constant argument of how can you be a good person when you don't have God right. around to keep you honest.
Well, we get that a lot, honestly, even with when it comes to being childless or child-free by choice, is the, well, what's the point of your relationship? What's the point of your marriage if you're not going to have kids? You guys just going to, this is just it? This is what you're going to be doing?
You're just going to enjoy each other's company and not have any financial burdens?
You're just going to enjoy each other's company for the rest of your lives? What a couple of assholes.
What is it all fuck? Comic
you
books?
You are so fucking selfish.
I know.
Is it all comic books and goats from here on out?
No, there's we do.
<High five. laughs> Oh, my hand.
Also, IKEA furniture that we had put together, and it hurts Nick's hands.
Yeah.
Nick's hands are super bruised from screwing together furniture all day.
My hands hurt from screwing.
Yeah, you know, I got, Pat and I wanted to have kids, but we wanted to have kids together, and we wanted to be together. And there's no, we got married to have children.
Right.
Right.
Piece of that equation.
Yeah.
There was, we got married, and one of the things that we wanted to do as part of that marriage was be parents.
Right. I don't understand why anyone thinks that what they think about your marriage should have any bearing on your marriage.
Yeah.
That's what I think is so funny, is people who, like this relative of, or childhood friend of Dan's wife here, you know, saying like, oh, I'm going to tell you your business. Why would you want that on you? I don't want someone else's marriage to succeed or fail because of any advice I gave them. Like, let them make their own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't want them to come to me.
If they're soliciting for advice on the matter, that's one thing. But,
right, exactly.
And most of that advice is not solicited.
Well, of course.
Very rarely.
All right. Well, hey, those were our boners. Judge them. Hold them in the balance. I hope you won't find them wanting.
I just knocked my boner against something. Did you hear it?
I did. That was a meaty thump.
It was.
Yes. We've been Geeks Without Gods. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Do that.
Please rate us on iTunes.
Yes.
Feel free to leave us a comment at any time if you disagree with what we're saying or just want to talk about how awesome Nick is.
Or Molly is when she sneezes.
I'm sorry.
Or to God Bless Molly for her sneeze, ironically.
Oh, no.
Hate that. We are Geeks Without Gods, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Which is funnier, Captain America the Winter Boner or the Boner Soldier?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
It's like, go fuck yourself. I just sneezed. I should have to put up with your shit.